But I didn't get to preach last week, so I'm going to preach my Thanksgiving message this week. We're still in the Thanksgiving season. We're Thanksgiving weekend, and so I think there's some wonderful things that the Lord wants to share with us today. And before I begin, I want to. There are a couple of things I need to announce. One is, some of you had planned on going to Haiti in March with me for a mission trip. If you don't have your passport, you need to start getting that now. Okay? Need that process going on now. Also, I want to pray for the hospital. I want to pray for our chaplain there, and Daniel, I want to say Estrada, Parada. Daniel Estrada was here last week. Daniel Parada is the chaplain of the hospital. So on your weekly bulletin or insert, there's a place where we pray for different churches and ministries throughout our county, and I'd like to do that before we begin this morning. As a matter of fact, why don't you stand and just grab hands with one another and agree with me in prayer as we pray today. So, Father, I come before you today, and again, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together. And we lift our concerns up to you. Lord, I'm sure that many of those here in this congregation have some things that they've been crying out to you for. And Lord, you're not a God who has closed ears. Lord, you hear our prayers. So Lord, I give you praise and glory and honor for the way that you minister to us and through us. Lord, we are your hands, we are your feet, we are your mouthpiece. And Lord, if anybody's going to know you, it's going to be because we show them who you are. And Lord, just thinking of the different ones today who are coming here with cares, coming here with needs. Lord, you're the only one who can meet those needs. They worry, their stress over different things. But my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So Lord, I thank you for that you're going to supply these needs. Lord, we don't have to stress, we don't have to worry anymore. But you're going to supply. Lord, you've never, it seems like you've never been in a hurry about answering those requests, but you've never been late. And so, Lord, we thank you for that you know the best time for everything. So, Lord, even in this, we wait for your response. We wait for your answer. We rejoice in that. Lord, for the hospital, I can't even imagine the needs that they have, financial and the doctors and the nurses and all of those who attend there. And Lord, the heavy load that's on Danny Parada, and chaplaining, and Lord, he does a magnificent job. And I know it's only because of your spirit that's with him. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd be with Danny, and God, that you would minister through him, that, Lord, that when he walks in the room, that you would walk with him and people would know that you're present. And God, that you would meet needs that only you can meet. God, only Danny can do his part, and he does a wonderful job, but he can't do your part. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just minister today and in the days following, Lord, that there would be an increase in the ministry that takes place through Danny and through the hospital. And God, that you would supply every need according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' holy name. Would you read this with me? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Would you say it a little bit louder? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Amen. Is God good or what? All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. So today we're going to talk about thankfulness. And why? So the first point is, why should we be thankful to God? Well, the first reason is because He deserves it. Okay? He deserves it. Everything you have, everything, all the beauty that you see, church family, everything you have, God gave that to you. God is a good, good God. He is a good, good Father. Did you know that even the angels give God thanks? In Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, it says, whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders fall down and worship Him. Now, the living beings that He talked about, if you read in the previous verses, are these angels with six wings? They have four faces, like a man and an ox and a... I forget the rest of it. Eagle and a man. I mentioned that. Anyway, these four beasts, I should have read it more closely. These beasts, these angels fall down and worship the Lord. And the Scripture says their wings are like, they have eyes all over the wings. I'm thinking of peacock feathers when I read that. They have eyes all over, and they're falling down and worshiping the Father and giving Him thanks. So the angels are giving Him thanks. We need to give Him thanks as well. We need to give God thanks for every good gift that comes in your life, because every good gift comes from Him. Can you think, all right, what are some good gifts that you have? Family. Church. I'm sorry?
Sight.
I thought you said fight. Sight. There's a, so all the good gifts, every good gift that you have, your ability to work, the passions you have for hunting, fishing, the passions you have for whatever work you do and hobbies you enjoy, that's all a gift from Him. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights, James 1:17. Number three, the third reason you should give thanks to the Lord is because it's one of the three things necessary for your heart and your mind to be guarded with peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Any of you, when you go to bed at night, do you lock your doors? Lock your windows? Why do you do that? For security, for protection, for peace. Okay? You're hoping nobody breaks in. The Scripture says when you pray and make supplication with thanksgiving, it's like putting a guard around your mind and your heart. Isn't that awesome? If you leave out thanksgiving, you are not completely bolted in. All right? You don't have your guard up. There's some things that happen whenever we give thanks to the Lord, and one of those things is that there is peace involved. Number four, thanksgiving might be just what you need to get out of a tight spot. Okay? Do you remember a fellow named Jonah? Okay? Jonah was running away from the Lord. He got on a ship. And some of these kids can tell it better than I can. Got on a ship, and he got thrown overboard. A large fish swallowed him. It wasn't a happy day for Jonah. In Jonah chapter 2, he says he's 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. And then he starts praying. I think I'd have started maybe day one. After 3 days and 3 nights, stomach acid bleaching his skin, seaweed around his head, he's saying, I better start praying. And he starts magnifying the Lord. He remembers who the Lord is, remembers the situation he's in. And in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. It wasn't until Jonah began thanking the Lord. I mean, he had been praying. All of chapter 2 is prayer, 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 prayer. Then verse 9, he says, I'm going to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. And when he did, the whale spit Jonah out on the dry land. Paul and Silas were in prison. They started praising and thanking the Lord. And the prison doors were open. I wonder what had happened if they hadn't started praising and thanking the Lord in that situation. Do you think the prison doors would have been open? I don't think so either. I think they'd have rotted in jail. But there's something that happens when we praise, give thanks. Jonah prayed and the whale's mouth was opened. Paul and Silas prayed and the prison doors were opened. Israel grumbled. And it took 40 years. They were stuck for 40 years because they didn't give God praise. Because they were not thankful for the things that the Lord had done for them. I want to ask you a question. You just think about it. You don't have to answer me out loud, but I want to ask you a question. Are you stuck? Have you been in the same place that you've been for years? You can't seem to go forward. Can't seem to get out of the rut. Can't seem to pick yourself up. I want to ask you another question. Do you grumble, gripe, and complain, or do you give thanks? Because this is what would happen. If Israel had given thanks, their time in the desert would only have been probably months rather than 40 years. Okay? And God was just waiting for them. Scripture says He left them in the wilderness to test them. And I believe the passing of the test is being able to give God praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving even when things are not that great. Another thing we find is that in order to draw close to the Lord, we must give thanks. In Psalms chapter 104, I'm sorry, Psalm 100, verse 4, verse 5, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Do you ever feel like that God's keeping you at a distance? Perhaps, maybe what needs to be done is more thanksgiving on our part in order to draw close to Him. See, He says, if you want to enter His gates, give thanks. You want to enter His courts, give praise. If you want to draw close to the Lord, give thanksgiving and give praise. And verse 5 tells you why. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. The gates of the Lord will never open to us if we refuse to give thanks. Number 6, giving thanks reveals our faith. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel. And there were some countries that were coming against Jehoshaphat. One of those countries was the Moabites, one was the Edomites, one was the Ammonites, and the Midianites. And all of these countries decided to war against Israel at the same time. Israel did not have the army it took to withstand this kind of attack. And Scripture says that Jehoshaphat was very, very fearful. I think I would have been fearful too. And this is what he did. He began fasting and praying, and he called Israel to a time of fasting and prayer. And during their fasting and prayer, the word of the Lord came to a prophet, and the prophet came and spoke to Jehoshaphat. And he told Jehoshaphat, he said, this is what the Lord says. The Lord says that you don't need to fear, because what's going to take place is that tomorrow at a certain time, all of these armies are going to come through this pass. And so I want you to go, the Lord says, I want you to go take Israel with you and look and see what the Lord does. You don't have to take your weapons. You don't have to take, just go and watch. And so Jehoshaphat and all Israel went up on the mountainside or the hillside to watch what God would do. And so when all the armies came together, what happened was they started fighting with one another. And they killed one another. And so Israel went down and got all the plunder and took it home. When you are talking about faith, many times you need to give thanksgiving to the Lord for what He's going to do, not just for what He has done. Okay? The Lord has spoken something to you, and you know it in your heart, and you need, even before it comes to pass, you need to say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. I'm going to trust in what you have shared with me, not in the circumstances that I find myself in. That's faith. So what Jehoshaphat does, after the Lord shows him this, he says, guys, now this is before the victory the next day. He says, guys, we need to praise the Lord. We need to thank the Lord. And this is what I'm going to do. I want to appoint the singers, the worship leaders, to go out in front of the army and start singing and praising the Lord and giving Him thanks. And so they all went around thanking the Lord and praising Him. In 2 Chronicles 20, 16 through 25, and especially verse 21 and 22. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of His holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and all these other armies. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There's something that takes place whenever we begin to give thanks to the Lord, and especially when we're in difficult situations. You remember we talked about Jonah a moment ago, and he said he offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know what a sacrifice of thanksgiving is? It's when you don't feel like it. That's a sacrifice. When you give something that you really don't want to give. Jonah was in the belly of a whale and he did not want to give thanks to the Lord. That was the furthest thing from his heart. But he knew something that was a secret to his deliverance. And he knew that he needed to begin giving thanksgiving to the Lord even though he didn't feel like it. For 3 days, I imagine, 3 days and three nights, he was mumbling and grumbling about the situation he was in. If God hadn't told me to go to Nineveh, I wouldn't be here. The problem was he did exactly what he shouldn't have done. He went the opposite way of what God told him to go. And finally, after 3 days and three nights, he said, I will do what God tells me to do. If Jonah hadn't done that, he wouldn't have been the scripture. He would have been digested. But he gave thanks the Lord in the circumstances. We need to give thanks to the Lord even when we don't feel like it, and even when the circumstances are not what we would like for them to be. Okay? I think God has some wonderful things in store for us if we begin doing those things. I think there's some deliverance for some of us. We began to put this into practice. On your action steps, I wanted to write this, but I felt like no one would answer it. I wanted to put on this, there, are you a grumbler or a complainer? Or do you have an attitude of gratitude? I didn't put that on there because I didn't think anybody would mark it. Okay, but you need to answer, that's a question you need to ask yourself. Because I guarantee you, if you're a grumbler and a complainer, you are stuck. And you will never get out of that stuckiness. You'll never get out of it. Okay? You will stay stuck for the remainder of your life until you begin to offer gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord and to others for the things they've done. Do you believe that? Okay. I know it's true. Another thing that happens when we give thanks to the Lord, thankfulness brings light. Listen to what Romans 1:21 says. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like, and as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Because they refused to give thanks to the Lord. And here's what I'm thinking. If you don't give thanks to the Lord and it brings darkness and confusion, what's going to happen if you do bring thanksgiving to the Lord? Oh man, it's going to be light and clarity. Your mind will be clear. Your heart will be clear. Your eyes will be clear. You will know because God just kind of brings light to you. Oh, I understand now. Give thanksgiving to the Lord. Give thanksgiving to the Lord. So how are we to do that? One way is sacrificially if we need to. The second way is with a heart full of gratitude, not just lip service. David says in Psalm 138:1, I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I will give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. Say that with me. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. Let's do it all together. I left out the last part. My bad. Let's do it again. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. So it's not, David was saying, I'm just not giving lip service to God. I'm actually, with a heart full of gratitude, I'm giving him thanks. With a heart full of gratitude. And sometimes perhaps we come before the Lord in prayer and, well, this is my duty, so I've got to do it. I've got to spend X amount of time in prayer because that's my duty as a Christian. Do you know how far your prayers get? Won't get very far. I mean, God might be gracious and he might say, man, I'm having pity on that poor person. But if your prayers and your thanksgiving is not full of fervor and thanksgiving to the Lord, and it's not just a lip service, it's just a mouthpiece, it becomes a heart thing, God begins to listen in to what you're saying. So I'm going to take you back to Philippians just a minute. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? So this thanksgiving thing is a huge part of what God wants us to do. It's something that God wants to ignite in us, and that we need to get better at becoming grateful. When should we offer thanks? Good. So, continually. Look at Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And he said, what I mean by that is this. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We need to, what Paul is, or the writer of Hebrews, is encouraging us to do is always be thankful. Always be thankful. Don't do like the Israelites and grumble and gripe and complain. Always look for something to be thankful for. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. And I wonder if sometimes when we don't give gratitude, if we're quenching the Spirit. And I think that's true. I think when we don't give gratitude, when we are grumbling, griping, and complaining, we are quenching the Spirit in our lives. So, when things are going good, give thanks. When things are going bad, give thanks. So look on your communication card, if you would. And I've written three action steps. Number one, I desire an attitude of gratitude. Hopefully everybody here will mark that one. I desire an attitude of gratitude. Number two, I will offer thanksgiving with a grateful heart to God and others daily. Number three, I will take the 40-day grateful challenge and spend at least 5 minutes daily in heartfelt gratitude to the Lord for His marvelous gifts. And I will journal to discover if things are clearer and brighter for me. I really believe this, that a lot of doors are closed to us when we don't offer thanksgiving. Heartfelt gratitude. And I'm asking you to do 5 minutes, and I mean just concentrated. Do you think you can thank the Lord? Do you have enough things to thank the Lord for 5 minutes? Or 40 days? That's good. A lot of things we take for granted. We take a lot of things for granted. Daily. God just blesses us and blesses us and blesses us and blesses us. And the writer of Hebrews, as well as Paul in 1 Thessalonians, is saying, you know, give God thanks for everything, in every circumstances, whenever, whatever, just give Him thanks. Wake up. Here's what I'm thinking. If you'll do this first thing in the morning, it'll probably be a continual thing throughout the day. It'll kind of remind you to begin thanking the Lord. The Lord does not want you to walk in darkness. He does not want you to walk in confusion. He wants you to walk in the light. There are a lot of doors that He wants to open for you, for me. But they will never be open until we begin giving thanks with a heartfelt gratitude. Sometimes it may not be heartfelt. Sometimes it may be a sacrificial, thank you, Lord. But even then, it's meaningful. Yes, sir. That's a good word. We do ask for a lot of things, and we get a lot of things, and maybe sometimes we forget to even say thank you, Dad, for that. Father, I come before you today. Lord, just want to say thank you for this day. Lord, we could spend the next several hours thanking you for the wonderful things you've done. Lord, I desire to be a person with a heartfelt gratitude. What I want. I want that to be a part of my daily life. Lord, I ask your forgiveness for any time that I've grumbled, griped, and complained. I don't want that in my life. I don't want negativity. And I know that if I focus on you, focus on your blessings, that I will never have anything to do grumble and gripe about. Because you're such a wonderful Father. I give you praise. Lord, there may be some here today who've been walking in darkness. They need your light. Jesus, you said that you're the light of the world. And if anyone comes to you, that light will live within them. And so, Lord, I come before you today, and Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who does not know you, the light of the world, they would respond to you, they would embrace you. You said you came, and John said about you that you came to a world of darkness, and the darkness didn't even understand. It couldn't comprehend you. Lord, we don't want to live in darkness anymore. We want the light of your word. We want the light of your truth. We want the light of who you are. God, I pray in the next 40 days, as we begin to put this into practice, that you would enlighten us with your truth, and you would enlighten us, God, that we would walk, we would no longer stumble about in darkness, but Lord, we would know what your will is and be able to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us today. I pray that we would put it into practice in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand.